You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the Viking drinking horn to my glass tumbler. My dear friend Andy.
What's up, Drew? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Andy. I'm in full summer mode. I am deep into some Portland summer.
Absolutely,
so
man.
You can't touch me at this point.
And this episode
I'm like MC Hammer.
This episode is going to come out in time for everybody who hears it to go and support you in your Rigsketball kickoff game.
Yeah, this episode is going to hit the air just in time to see my band, Hot Won't Quit, participate in the 6th annual Rigsketball basketball tournament at PDX Pop Now.
Yeah, man. Make sure you check that out and go check out PDX Pop Now. It's a great lineup this year. Yeah. It's going to be a really good time.
I am a little bit out of shape, but I've got some skills. I can dig deep, and I will not disappoint you. Also, I love the spotlight. I love the bright lights, so the more the merrier.
I heard that your left stroke just went viral, and your right stroke put a baby in a spiral.
Yeah, I feel like that was being said at the NBA Finals. I have no idea what it means, but yes, totally true.
Yeah.
If my left stroke hasn't, it's about to.
It's about to.
It's going
to
get a virus.
Well, this week is extra exciting for me because this is a week when you weren't here, and I had some of my favorite local musicians come on and just really fucking rock it.
When I wasn't standing in your way of what you really wanted to do
for the show. I
got to
take the reins and just drive it deep into the ground. And you can listen to that this week. It's fantastic. It was a great episode.
I'm excited to hear it because our old friend Brad Parsons was back in the garage playing some live music, but he brought some company this week.
Yeah, he brought his good dear friend, J. Cobb Anderson from the band Fruition. And
fantastic.
From their band, the Bellboys and the Villains, and you'll hear a lot of that this episode.
So you get to hear some live music this week. You are spared my voice. So
serious questions this week, but you do get a touch of a new game that I've developed that I hope you enjoy.
Okay.
And you get to hear Nate's voice.
You get to hear Nate, our silent partner, who has put his magical touch on our sound since we've been started. And I guess he takes the mic a little bit this week.
Yeah, he participated in the game.
Oh, our loud partner, Nate.
Yeah.
Getting busy on the microphone. So enjoy this week's episode of Hot Garbage with our old friend Brad Parsons and J. Cobb Anderson of Fruition.
A hot garbage, y'all.
What do you call them?
Like an soothsayer? Oracle.
Yeah, like
Oracle.
Yeah. Those are all great.
Yeah, man, soothsayer. That's like,
I like soothsayer.
That's sick, Shakespearean.
Thesaurus.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was like a predictor of the future.
Prophet. That's the word you're looking for.
There it is.
Or fortune teller or something like, you know, same shit.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. But was who died, and before he died, one of his predictions was in like our last presidential election, it was like the last president will be from 2015. The next, there will be no presidents after that. There will just be aliens. Like,
so the so I now, thought you were going somewhere way more realistic.
No, dude. No, he said the aliens would show themselves finally, and that we would not have any more presidents because we wouldn't need them. That was one of these dudes' predictions. And this dude was like really reputable too.
Does he have? He has other predictions.
Yeah, he has other predictions.
I think
that came
this
true.
Is another thing that you're full of shit about.
That's so crazy. He just is like, and then the government
is
aliens.
Totally true.
Making up stuff.
No, this is absolutely true. Look it up online, folks. Some guy.
I don't understand how aliens are a replacement for government, though. Just like, oh no.
Right. Well, it kind of makes sense to me because it's like,
give the aliens all
Donald
your stuff.
Trump.
They just shift all the taxes seems like an alien and all the to governmental me. Control. Or we just give it all to aliens.
Well, it just seems fake. Maybe he's a robot sent by the aliens, maybe.
Oh, he could be a plant, yeah. That's for sure.
God, I wish he was fake, because then maybe all the rest of it would be fake,
I think he might be,
too.
Bro.
All the rest of it, no, because then it's all real. It's all real.
I don't know if any of it's
real.
It's all real.
Damn it.
So,
Brad. Anyways, hey,
Jay, you guys, how can you tell us how you guys met and how long you've been playing music together?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. That's good. Story here. I don't know when I met Brad, but we're from the same town in Idaho, Lewiston, Idaho. I may have met you before, but I know that I think I did meet you at my first gig I ever played.
Yeah, I was at his first show.
When I was 13.
He was just a young lad.
And Brad was in high school.
What were you playing at that time?
Like, actually mostly Sublime. Like classic rock covers and Sublime. It was like we'd play like White Room by Cream, and then we'd play like What I Got by Sublime, like next time.
You guys did that. Excellent. And then you did, you know,
we'd do some Bob Marley songs, but we had original tunes too.
Nice.
Not then that yet though.
Yeah, we both, yes, I remember the first show, Simon had an original tune and I had an original tune.
And I remember
his was called Baby Baby Baby. And mine was called, The Glimmer Man.
Well, Simon, this guy that Jake played in the band with Simon Tucker, I had known him since we were really little, and I remember him calling my house, you know, and saying that his band was playing down at this coffee shop called Blackbird Java that we had there. And I went down there, and they played, you know, they were playing blues songs and, you know, all this stuff.
Lots of blues
and they were
songs.
Little. They were young kids, and they were really good. You know, I just remember being like, wow, like, these guys are like both him and Simon. You know, I was like, these guys are both little squirts and they're just really great. You know, they could shred. He could play the little Sublime solos and
just
like stupid red hair. And I think he might have like a puka shell necklace or something like that.
Totally, dude. And like some like Adidas sandals with socks on, and like shorts.
Yeah.
Classic stuff, like a Billabong t-shirt.
Oh, memory lane.
So when did you guys start playing music together?
That wasn't...
Can we talk about this? Can I talk about...
Yes.
So...
Get into it. I'm actually going to go get another beer. Is anybody...
I'm good. I got one. I'm good. Well, no, I'll take another one. Hell
okay,
yeah.
I'll be right back. Be right back.
So, Jake was... He's stoned and he just went and got another beer. So
it was a podcast first where a guest has gotten up and left the podcast.
I was gonna say, bro, I don't think they do that usually, but
it's a good move. I would do it more often now.
But
this is the new thing that's gonna happen on our show. We're just gonna
that was quick.
Breaks. That was very fast.
I know. I was gonna do it really fast. I didn't want to miss out.
We started playing music together because there was this place. Well, I grew up, you know, very Christian, and when I kind of started to come out of that, like, I started to go in this bar called Hogan's, and that's when I started, like, smoking weed and stuff.
Because it was a devil bar.
It was. Oh,
and,
yeah.
Am I allowed to tell this? Can I tell this story?
Yeah, fuck
okay.
Yeah.
So, Jake was the guy that sold weed.
That's
so
me.
I bought weed from Jake. I bought my first ever bag of weed from him, you know, and... like, we grew up in, like, super conservative Idaho, you know, mm-hmm. And so...
Yo, that's a big deal back then.
Yeah, and so, it's like, that was, like, a big, big thing, you know, and so one of the rules that he had was that you had to go over and stay for, like, an hour. You couldn't just go in and, like, roll out, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know?
You can't, like, dude, that just draws attention, just people driving to your house and picking up weed and leaving all the time.
Mm-hmm. So what we started to do when I would go over there and buy weed from him, we'd have to sit there. We'd just start playing guitar. And that song, Selfish Ways, that we played earlier was one of the first songs we played together. And then Hogan's had an open mic. And
then that's when we formed a rock band, this band called The Villains that we had for a long time, which we have CDs of. It's an awesome album. And we have an album also recorded that we never released. But Brad... plays drums, and he played drums for that.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Like a garage rock, heavy rock, like, I guess it's not like heavy rock, it's just like garage rock, but like the way that Brad plays the drums is really hard and really loud. And I remember we played a gig once, and this guy was like, worked with the Melvins. He was like, you're like five times louder than the Melvins drummer, bro.
Dude, that's crazy.
Which is
that
nuts.
Guy's
and it's
loud.
True though. This guy's fucking a power drummer. It's insane.
I've had to learn to dial it back.
So yeah. So that's when we actually started playing music, which is funny. It was years later, you know.
Yeah. This is like, you know, we both like he, you know, like I grew up super Christian, you know, so he was playing and he, you know,
I was in a reggae he was playing rock band music. And I had dreadlocks for 7 years and like,
ooh, nice.
Yeah. And like playing the barter fairs. Like, and Brad was in a Christian rock band.
Yeah.
And
so, like, it was totally like
completely different,
you know, totally mm-hmm. opposite sides of,
which was awesome, by the way. The Christian rock band was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Like with the exception of
all the Christian stuff,
all the stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, he, so we started playing together just like at that open mic. And then he's really the reason why, you know, I ended up coming out here to Portland. You know, he came out and he's like, we're calling and talking to each other. And he's saying, you got to come out here. It's awesome. This was in like 2007, I think.
Right. And at that
or
time,
it was 2007 or eight. I think 2008. It was 2008. Yeah.
And it was around that time we were like still, we were doing the Villains pretty hard, that rock band before I left.
Yeah.
So I was like, come out here. Let's fucking rock. And we did that too for a long time. But we started doing other shit.
And we'll do it again.
Right.
We still get to do that sometimes. Every once in a while. It's pretty fun. But.
That's awesome.
We've had to change the name to the Rose City Thorns because they're just fucking shitty band.
That's a terrible name and we hate that. We gotta call it something else now.
It's this shitty band called the Villains that
shots fired.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you're out there listening, the Villains.
Huge fans.
I would
huge
love to have fans. A rock off with you. Oh, we'll see who rocks harder.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we
but
will see.
These guys are like a band that like they're from, fuck, where they're from, like Atlanta, Georgia, I think, and they have like a symbol. They like do a symbol, like a V with their fingers for like the Villains, like on their website. They do.
They
that.
Sound like Christian
and
rock,
and they sound kind of like Christian.
They
rock.
They sound like Christian rock. Uh-huh. That's what they sound like.
I mean, maybe they're not bad dudes, but what like really pisses Christian me rock. Off about them yeah. is that they sent us a cease and desist letter when we're just like this fucking tiny rock band.
They're really
Portland
mean to us.
Called the Villains, and they like their lawyer sent us more than one thing, being like, "You can't have that name." And we're like, "Really? Mm-hmm. How are we gonna fuck with you guys?" Like they're like obviously dudes that have money, and
I think they're still doing it.
They had a producer that like produced the Eagles or something, produced one of the records that I think sucks, but that's my opinion.
Yeah,
everyone's got their own opinion. Eagles, they probably think that my shit sucks too, like, and that's fine. Yeah. But honestly.
They were mean to us.
Battle for the name.
We almost changed our.
We
name.
Should. Rock we should have had like a or like an.
I wanted
would,
to
I would,
do like
I
a rock off.
No, I would. Well, I want to do it. I wanted to do a knife fight. That's what I wanted.
I know. Oh, Brad always wants to knife fight though.
A hatchet knife fight. You always go to that.
A what?
A hatchet throwing contest.
There you go. Hatchet throwing contest. Exactly.
I like this. I like all these ways.
Anyways, we almost changed our name to Fuck the Villains, but then we're like, then you gotta put it on a poster. It's like, are you gonna put fuck on a thing all the time? Maybe. Nowadays, I think it might be more acceptable.
Yeah.
The state
the world's
of
opening
we're
up.
In. Fuck everything. Just kidding.
I think this is probably a perfect time to jump into one of those live songs that you guys played for.
Oh,
you
nice.
The first song that you guys played tonight? What
was it? For You.
For You.
Yeah, that was a song that when Brad had moved to Portland and we'd formed a band called The Bellboys. And we were also doing the Villains, and we were doing Fruition. We do like three bands in one on tour sometimes. And sometimes we just take Brad with us or whatever on a Fruition tour. Like we'd take somebody from Fruition on a Villains tour or whatever. Yeah. But we were driving down to California, and that song, Brad was just working on this chord progression in the back seat, and I heard it and was just like, I was driving and I like pulled over the van. I was like, someone else has to drive. We got to write a song. And so we just like sat back there and kind of just banged her out.
Finished her up right then and there.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, that's happened more than once with Brad. Like Brad may be the only dude that I've ever heard him just do something. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, I don't know. I was like, let me write a song around. But you know, we'll do it together. And sweet, there's been a few songs like that. There was a song Somehow, Someway, Someday that was on Fruition EP, the Wholehearted Fool EP. It's like a rock tune that is a co-write between me and Brad too.
This one's called For You.
But that, yeah, what?
That's a whole other
shit.
It's a whole other story altogether.
Damn.
It's a whole other onion.
Oh, yeah. Are we?
We wrote this in a van going to California. The song's called For You.
So, Jay, while you're here, we talked about fruition a while back because of a crazy thing that probably happens more often than you think that you guys had happened to you at a show. You got dosed by a fan.
Yeah.
Who was probably doing it. Who knows? I mean, you want to think they're doing it in like a positive
way. Well, me
tell us
or
a little bit how that went down.
Well, there's actually, this is, it's happened more than once, but like for me, that only happened, that happened once. But for what it really happened to Mimi, it, like, and that was at our Wonder Ballroom show, and she dealt with it quite fine.
Jeez, man, like, how do you perform in front of like a big crowd like that when you're just tripping out?
You
That's
just
crazy.
Do it, you know. It's like if you've ever been down that road, then you're like, all right, here I am. Let's just try and get through this.
One of the gals from the opening band got dosed that
night
too.
Was that the Hill Dogs?
Yeah. Kayla. Yeah, she got. Man.
And that can be devastating if you don't know what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I'm very against dosing people.
Oh,
God. It's terrible.
It's pretty fucked
up. That's the worst thing you could.
If someone did
that
to me and I found out who it was that dosed me without my knowledge, I would flip out. I would probably hurt them really bad.
Right. What do you think the thought process on the other side of that is, though? The person giving it out.
No idea.
This guy's gonna have a great night. I love this man. They're gonna.
I don't know.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine doing that to someone. That's. Yeah. I can't put myself in. I can't. I could not put myself in someone's shoes that would want to like put someone like.
There's so much mental preparation you need to go through to take. Right. Hallucinogenics in a positive way.
Right, absolutely.
You can't just like drop it and like maybe you're having a bad night. Maybe you're in a bad mood. That's just gonna amplify and you're gonna have a fucking horrible
evening. Absolutely.
And if you have to do it in front of a huge crowd of people, yeah, I can't even imagine.
Like have to have a responsibility at all under the influence of something like that is not fun.
I mean, if I'm tripping without planning to be tripping, I'm not gonna have a good time.
Right. There was one time I got somehow dosed on stage was actually, it was in Colorado. We were playing this venue called the Mishawaka, which is this beautiful venue outside. It's like right on the Poudre River, and this river is just like raging and beautiful, and it's a great venue. But yeah, I was backstage and we were just about to go on in like an hour, and I remember like everyone was watching a basketball game. And then I started feeling sick. I started feeling weird, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what was going on. I was like, I'm going to go lay down because I was getting the yawns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I went and laid down in the van. And then I just kept having these crazy thoughts. And just I would end up, like, laughing. And then I was like, oh, man, I know what's going on right now at one point, you know? I was like, that's not that funny. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. I was like, this is because I started just feeling waves of euphoria. But then we had to play and, like, a half an hour right after that. So I was like in full blown mode out on stage, but it actually worked out quite nicely and was a good time. But I don't know how that happened. That all happened like before the show. I don't know if I grabbed somebody's water bottle that I shouldn't have, or, you know, probably something like that.
I'm sure that was your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. That was in itself. You. Yeah. But the Mimi thing at the Wonder Ballroom.
You drank out
of
the water bottle that said acid on it, like real big.
What's acid water? I've never heard of acid
it's
water.
It's delicious. They put a bunch of minerals in it.
Is this a new kind of LaCroix? All right.
Are there bubbles? No, but yeah, I think that's totally messed up. You should never.
Yes.
People should be doing that on their own.
Never.
Time.
Ever, ever.
Yeah. That's rough, man.
Like, I don't even like going down that road. Around people at all. Like, I'd rather just be or just with friends in the woods, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Or at least be able to have,
that's
like,
how you connect.
You know, you don't want that creeping up on you.
Right.
You're just like,
right.
Uh-oh.
No, not fun.
And then that kind of puts that in your head, right?
Right.
When you're about to play
After that show, we all put our drinks back by our, like, amps and by the drum set now. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody puts drinks up by the front of the stage anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
just asking for it. There's people with vials just like squirting drops in the air.
Like,
you just
got
to like dodge it.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That totally puts the fear in you for sure. And then you're just like, sometimes do you ever feel like, oh, man, am I tripping right now? No, I'm good. I might be. Oh, no. Nope. I'm good.
No.
Just lightheaded. That's all.
Right. No, but I mean, like, playing music in general is just the best high that you can ever have, ever. Like, performing live, at least for me, it's, like, very much a out-of-body experience all the time. So mm-hmm. It's, like, you don't really need anything like that.
Well, you guys are both rocking String Summit this weekend. This will come out after that, but
mm-hmm.
I'm always blown away by how late you guys can play. You guys sometimes play till like 4 or 5 in the morning out there.
Yeah, we can't do that anymore because they shut it down. Because the reason why we started that tradition, first of all, like when Fruition and the Bellboys too, Brad and I's old band, like the way we started as bands, we were busking bands. So you would go downtown every day and you'd play for like 5 to 7 hours.
And we each make like $30.
And then we'd go to the bar and we'd drink and we'd wake up the next day with no money and do it all over again. Like, that's what we did over and over for a long time, Fruition and the Bellboys. And
keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah. And,
or gets you in or gets trouble. You,
well,
also.
it's like the best way to like practice your craft.
Yeah.
You know, like just playing is the best thing you can do if you're a musician. Like, and performing too, like.
Well, just being out there all day. You
right.
know? You're out there all day. You're out there every day, and you're just playing, you know, and you're, you know, we did it for money, you know, we did it because we needed to eat, but we also did it because we liked it, and we what else were we doing with our lives? Like none of us had jobs.
Mm-hmm. And so doing that, like busking was, and like having such a huge repertoire of music. There's that word again, dude.
Repertoire. Whoa.
I asked how that was spelled earlier. Repertoire.
Cool story.
So having like a big repertoire of music. You know, the first time we got asked to do String Summit, they, I think it was before, it was the year before we actually played the main stage for the first time, but they'd created
the
late
stage.
Night Cascadia stage. Yeah. And
you,
with
you
our,
guys
with
did
help
it.
From our brother Peacock, dude. Peacock was the one that like pushed and talked to Bob about it. And
you guys,
Peacock.
Anybody
you guys
who hasn't been to String Summit, that stage is in a creek bed with like, what do you want to call it? Fucking cat tracked kind of zigzag path upward.
Zigzag path,
so
yeah, through the ivy.
There's such a cool stage, and they have it
really
all lit
gorgeous.
Beautifully. And that festival is so much fun.
Right. And so they created that stage for like us to play this late night thing. And when they booked us starting at 12:30 going to ? That's what they put in the contract, right? Uh-huh. So we're like, yes. We saw the ? We're like, and basically they gave us free rein on it that very first year. Like we ran the PA, like Tyler Thompson, the drummer in our band, is like, bless him, he knows how to run things like that. And
that's
so
right.
Like
we
so
ran
we
the
set
PA.
Up the PA. We like sound checked everything with like T-Tom at the head, and so we just so it was up to us. So we played until the sun came up, till it was like 5:30, 6
you
in the morning.
Yeah.
Me and Kim were there watching.
Were you guys
show,
there for that first one?
And we passed out watching you play.
Yes.
I woke up and you were still playing.
Yes.
It was pretty amazing. And we were like, oh, it's still dark out. They're still playing? This is fucking crazy. It's like 4 in the morning. It
was
amazing.
That was so, that became the tradition. Like next year, they did the same
and
thing to
people
us.
People coming off stage,
they gave
on stage, taking
12:30
breaks.
To
crazy.
? Again.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, all right, we're gonna, but this, that year, they had like, a sound master, like running, I say sound master, it was a sound woman, and she was definitely our master, and she was there, and she thought that we were supposed to be done at 3, right? Mm-hmm. And by the time it's 4:00, 4:30, she's like, talking through the talkback mic, like, how much longer are you guys doing this? And I was like, we're going to the sun up, that's what we do. And she was so angry at the end. And I totally understand, especially if you're like working a festival and you're trying to get some sleep so you can run the sound for the next band all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you have a couple of hours of window.
And it's like,
now,
but and I felt bad about that, but I didn't realize that she didn't know. I was like, we had a, this is like a tradition thing. She was not.
No, that first year also, was the first year or second year that Jeff Austin came down and played?
Second year,
yeah.
That's
was also
when
the
we
year,
met.
Yeah,
that's
Jeff.
When we met like Vince Herman and everybody.
Yeah.
But
man, bluegrass legends. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's that was, and but see the late night thing, like playing all night, is so easy for us because that's what we would do anyway.
Yeah.
At the festival.
I really
we still do.
I
sometimes.
Applaud your endurance because man, you guys can really play.
Thank
a
you.
Lot.
It's one of those things that like if you love it, like we're not always doing our own shit, you know, we'll do like our favorite like Townes Van Zandt songs or like
or I'll be standing there in the crowd watching you play and like musicians will come up behind me with like all their gear,
right?
Like where are these guys
and that's
coming
another
from?
Thing
I was
too.
Like oh that's like part of Green Sky right there,
right?
They're walking down to play and it's like damn,
yeah,
people are just coming up from their campsites. It's
and
amazing.
That's what's sweet about and that's what that's another reason that makes it like so easy to play those late night all night long because your friends will show up and they know songs that you don't know but you can follow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so they'll take the reins and like we're just switch and rotate all night.
Yeah, there have been some years where it's just like
you can keep that going forever.
Yeah, you have just like people rotating in and off the stage, you know, and like people coming up and going off, and I mean it's amazing, you know. You just those first couple of years of doing that when it was like sort of the wild wild west of us like being out there, you know.
What sparked that whole thing too is our buddy Mark Crazier, the year before we actually did the late night set, he brought a PA to our campground that we'd been camping at for the last 3 years before we were ever like booked.
Yeah. AKA the visitors camps area. Yeah. Yeah.
So we like set up a PA one time and Bob came down and shut us down, but we had like, you know, 200, 300 hippies, like, all throughout the trees and all over the hills. And that's when, like, our buddy Peacock kind of, like, talked to Bob. And, like,
we'd been going to String Summit forever. And before that, it was a lot of random picking circles in people's campsites. And you'd walk up and just be like, whoa, who's this? And there's roving bands of minstrels.
Yeah.
You know, with this band Taproot, they would walk
around. Oh, yeah.
I remember that band.
Oh, they were so fun there.
Hell yeah.
Carolina, or the California Honey Drops, they would walk around and play.
That's when I met them.
They're so good.
I met them. Man. That's the first time I met them. They were playing on top of Further, and I they asked me to come play, and so I just came and just sat with them, met them, and then we just started playing. That's
I love the harmonica player.
I love
those
amazing.
Guys. Yeah, so good, man. That was Bucky Walters. That's another.
I was gonna say harmonica player.
Bucky Walters.
Yeah,
they have a harmonica player.
Cat Fountain.
Cat Fountain's that harmonica player. Yeah. She's a good friend of ours. She's amazing.
She's great.
She's incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And that's just a really cool thing about that festival. But nowadays, there's the late night stage, and they added another late night stage over on the other side.
And now they give us a time to end at in our concert.
So it's a little different. It's still fantastic. I'm sure it'll be really good. Big shout out to Tyler Fuqua, who this year is probably going to blow the lights off everybody with this amazing glow show.
Ooh, nice.
Night. That's a big string.
Wonderful.
Thing. Don't miss that. Or you probably already saw it because this is coming out in the future.
I think it's going to be a good year this year.
Don't not miss that.
Yonder.
All right, you guys. Are you guys big Yonder fans? Do you think Jeff's going to come back to Yonder ever?
No. But I will say this. This is what I will say. I saw them at Telluride just a few weeks ago, and they were awesome. It's new. It's a new thing. It's different.
It's totally different.
And I have been I have been shit talker number one on that band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I was, I saw that the other day and I, or not the other day, but I saw that at Telluride, last month and was just really I was pumped for them, because they sounded really good. They're
Allie Krall is amazing, and I feel she's really stepped up and really improved their sound.
Yeah, she sure has.
In a great way. And Jacob Joliffe is no slouch on the mandolin.
Dude,
the dude's a human prodigy.
Absolutely.
He's incredible.
He is, and he's loosened up a little bit, and he's he's starting to play.
He's
just
so
he's
traditional.
Really starting to play.
It's crazy. But, man, all right, this is turning into the Yonder Mountain String Band podcast, but Jeff Austin, man, that dude has got such a strong stage presence. The dude really controls the crowd, and he likes all the same stuff I like. They play Misfits songs and Devo songs, and they fucking play it in this amazing loose bluegrass jam style.
Mm-hmm.
I just fucking love.
Yeah, it's different now. It's tighter, but it's tight bluegrass now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not that loose, kind of almost punk rocky thing that they had, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different. But when they play Son of a Preacher Man, all the asses are shaking. That shit kills. It's amazing.
They're killing it right now, I think. So
yeah,
I just think that they're so very, very different than what they were.
Yeah,
it's and that was a big deal.
Completely different band
when Jeff Austin left that
which
band.
In my
that
mind,
was a big divide for a lot of
people.
A
lot of hardcore Yonder fans are pissed off. He's the lead dude, really. It's taken away. It's fucking.
It's like Van Halen, dude.
Band.
Right.
It's taking David Lee Roth away.
Right.
Replacing him with the Red Rocket.
Yeah.
The Red Rocker.
Van Hagar.
But it's to me, the band is just it's a completely different band. I always thought that they should have changed the name of it. And that would have helped people, I think, maybe more easily attached to it.
Yeah, but when you got the branding thing for the years, it's all
the
same people.
But that's what I mean. Branding stuff to me is kind of I think that's kind of just bullshit. We're trying to make art. If you're going to make a different painting, or whatever, it's if you don't have the same.
You really want to just start over.
Well, it's really tough when you're a band and
you don't
lose your lead
have to start
singer.
Over. You say members of Cornmeal and members of Yonder Mountain String Band form this new band called so-and-so, and they would still do great. But but I know what you're saying, too, because Yonder has festivals they do String Summit so they wanted to retain that kind of vibe, but it's just to me it's just such a different thing.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I'm a solo artist,
right?
Because
deal with shit like that.
I don't have to think about that at all.
If Mimi left Fruition, I don't think I would continue on with Fruition. Or
well,
if I left Fruition. Hopefully it would. I don't know.
Well, Nate's been in this position for a long time. His band, Mane of the Cur, has gone through a lot of members.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a mic tonight. So that's,
right.
That's a very thing.
Some bands can get away with it.
They lost their singer a lot. And then Blaine, who was the bass player, stepped into the drum position after they went through a bunch of drummers.
Right, right.
And you got a solid thing now after all of that changeover. So
yeah, for sure.
It can happen. You can hold that ship
it
together.
It can
you
happen.
Can. I mean,
and I'm not saying that it doesn't.
Held it together.
I just think in that specific scenario, I think it could have worked
when
for
you
them.
When you lose your frontman, that's huge.
It yeah. is. It makes it a
he's
a
the frontman, you know.
He's yeah. the lead songwriter, you know, like lead. I mean, I don't know about lead songwriter. That's
he's the face of the band.
I don't know that much yeah. about them, honestly.
He was the voice of the band for sure.
Right. Yeah. He was definitely the dude.
And at String Summit, man, he really controlled those jams.
Right. Oh,
yeah,
man.
He had a tight hand on those jams.
Absolutely.
And his solo band, Jeff Austin Band, is great. So go check them
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
But
and Yonder yeah. is fucking killing it now too.
So yeah, enjoy that Yonder Mountain String Band.
Yeah,
let's talk about this next song you guys played.
Let's
or are you gonna do
things,
that one earlier?
Baby.
How are we gonna do this?
We did Selfish Ways.
Yeah, me.
Wait, yeah.
Yeah, Selfish Ways. That was the first.
That was
song
the first song we played on stage together. Actually,
yep.
Awesome.
Played that on an open mic. And we
and
it learned
was killer.
It.
You guys wrote that early. That's amazing.
I wrote that like.
2000.
That's like a 10-year-old song, probably.
2007.
Yeah. And then that was one of the songs I played for Jake when we would go over, and I'd have to hang out at his house when he was selling me weed.
You like play that song?
Play that song, bro.
Play that song, man. And then we played it on stage at the open mic, and
that's right.
We've been doing it ever since, you know.
Do I do an intro?
Just start it.
Thank you.
tell me what you want, what you want. Could you tell me what you need, what you need? Could I give you everything? Ways, could I love you all the way, help you remember?
All right, I think it's time that we played a little game.
Oh, yeah?
Would you guys like to play a game?
Let's play, a game.
All right, I found a little website. Narcanon came out with a list of slang terms for combinations of drugs. There's some crazy stuff on here. I know none of this. I can't say for sure this is all real, but these are funny names that people have come up with for combinations of drugs. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you... Let's see. We could do it one or two ways. I'm going to put this on you guys.
Okay.
Do you want me to give you the name of the slang term and you can tell me the drugs that are in it? Or do you want me to give you a real one and a fake one? You can pick the real one.
I want a real one, fake one, pick the real one.
Wait, so this is a common... I missed the first part because I was kind of beer.
That's okay.
That's why you don't leave to get a
Narcanon, basically Narcotics Anonymous came out with a list of... drug combinations and the names for them, like the super common one, like candy flipping.
Yeah, candy flipping. Yeah,
taking that's acid exactly and doing ecstasy together. Yeah. That's a very common one. There is a huge list of all kinds of crazy ones. So here we go. Let's jump off right here. All three of you guys, Nate, you're in on this
so
too.
So wait, we're cool. Guessing which ones we're guessing.
Yeah, I'm gonna say
we're guessing
one.
What the combination of
I'm
drugs
gonna say
are.
One, and you tell me if it's real or not.
Okay.
I thought we were going to come up with names for combinations of drugs.
We can do that, too.
We can do that, too. Yeah. All right.
You tell me if this one is real or fake. Banana split.
I'm going to say that's real.
I'm going to go fake.
I'll go real.
It does sound real.
Damn. It is real. It's 2CB and ecstasy.
2CB?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a new thing.
If you got to ask.
Of, it's
you
like...
You want no part of it.
It's like Molly, but it's a new.
It's like experience. Okay. Yeah.
It's Molly and Jankum.
Yeah.
Is Jankum made of bananas or what's?
No. Jankum? Oh no, Jankum is like you poop what's, in a bottle and you let the methane from your poop fill up a balloon and then you huff that balloon.
God.
That was a fake thing that came out back in the day on the internet that were like there were people in Africa who were getting high on Jankum.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
The type of literal shit
it could
that people
be real.
Come up with.
Wait, so people don't actually do that.
I heard that it's fake, but I don't know.
Wait, so banana split. Can you smoke banana peels?
You can smoke banana
There's
peels.
There's that mellow good. Yellow song.
That's a thing. You dry out those little fingers that come off when you're peeling a banana.
Saffron.
Those, you dry them out in a oven for an hour. It's in the Anarchist Cookbook.
Has anybody ever done that?
I have. No. It's worthless. Don't do it.
You have?
Yeah. I also don't smoke peanut skins or eat nutmeg.
I ate nutmeg once. That's what I was
oh,
about
did it do anything?
Say.
Oh, yeah.
No, it made me horribly sick.
Yeah, it made me real thirsty.
It was really bad. Yeah. Don't do it, kids. Don't do drugs now.
Don't do no drug now, kids.
All right, so you guys are all 0 for 1 here.
No, I got it right.
Got that one?
Yeah.
Oh, Dave got it right.
Okay,
I got it wrong.
One that screwed
I'm not
it
paying
up.
Attention.
I got it
you
wrong.
You guys both got a point, Nate. And Brad.
I was playing here. Devil's advocate.
Real or fake waffle dust?
Real.
To be real.
I think that's real, too.
That's fake.
Is it
that is real? It's ecstasy and crystal meth.
Okay, yeah.
Wow, right. Jesus.
Snorting waffle dust.
Who are these people?
That sounds rugged.
That does sound rugged.
It sounds to me like I love waffles, and it seems like it'd be some kind of sugary left behind from a waffle.
Sugary left behind? Yeah.
So to me, it sounds kind of tasty until you say that it's it's got meth in.
But the meth tastes like it's made with maple syrup.
Right.
It's like a little drop of maple
methyl
syrup in there.
Methyl syrup.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm,
All right. Ugh. Real or fake? Slip and slide.
I still want to say that's real.
I'm going to say it's fake because...
It's probably fake.
I'm going to say it's
but
fake.
But I'm going to go
like
with real.
It's real that it's fake. I'm going to go fake.
I'm going to go real.
Oh, it's fake.
Ooh.
Yes. Oh, man. Brad is in the lead here. He's on a perfect streak here.
I got them all right so far.
He's got 3 points. Nate's got two. And what does that Jay's say got one over here.
I don't know.
All right, here we go.
All right, what was it called again, though?
That one was called Slip and Slide.
All right, now we should make a drug combination for Slip and Slide to make it a thing.
There we go, yeah.
Okay, Slip and Slide. I'm going to go with LSD and just straight vodka.
Just put a little bit in the vodka. Okay.
Slip and Slide.
Nice. Okay, I like
just
that.
In an eyedropper.
Or how about like how about vodka or LSD-laced vodka that you smoke bong rips through... Like,
nah, dude, you gotta boof it.
Ooh, how about that? Or no, okay, this is I got it, you guys. This is a slip and slide.
Okay,
slip and slide. Everclear instead of bong water, and then just bong hits. Have you ever smoked weed through a bong that's just alcohol in it?
Yes, I have. It's gross.
It's gross, but it gets you kind of drunk high.
Yeah, you get a weird feeling.
I think that's a slip and slide, baby.
Yeah. That sounds about like a slip and slide.
Slip and slide. Boom.
When you do it that
way. You heard it here first, here, folks.
Okay, here's another one. Elephant flipping.
That's fake. That sounds fake as fuck to me.
I feel like I just have to go with Brad at this
I'm going to go with Brad on this one, too, because
no, see, you guys are all wrong.
Dang it.
That's PCP and ketamine.
Really?
Wow.
What a horrible name. Who gave it that name? That's weak as shit.
Elephant flipping?
Who? Oh, I'm elephant flipping. No, you're in a coma. You're fucking... PCP and ketamine. So you're in a K-hole, but you've got super angry aggro strength.
That I've never done that, and I don't like ketamine sounds
the,
awful.
Yeah, it does
sounds
sound
like
awful.
An awful
I've
drug.
Just had too many friends like tell me the shitty parts of it. I was like, why would I ever?
No
do
one's
that?
Ever said anything like nice people say they like doing it, but then it's just like, you did what? Like you like yeah, no.
I've messed around with the synthetic version of it from Japan.
Oh, yeah? What's that called?
It was just a bunch of numbers and letters. I don't remember what it was, but it was basically the same chemical makeup as ketamine, and I didn't like it. It just basically puts you in a K-hole, so you feel like you are 6 feet deeper than where your body really is. You're looking at, like, tunnel vision.
Right.
And you're paralyzed, and it's just like, okay, so I'm under anesthesia. This sucks. I don't like
yeah,
this
it's
feeling.
Like, horse it's like smoking it? Salvia.
Yeah.
Is it's that what you're saying?
Horse. Yeah, it's basically
I think
salvia.
Ketamine is not, it's an animal tranquilizer
yeah.
of some kind.
So that's why they call it elephant flipping.
I thought it was. Gross. I thought ketamine was. No, I was thinking of sherm.
The sherm.
Embalming fluid.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. The shit that people figure out to get high.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man. I feel like we need one more here.
All right.
To end this out.
Yeah. I feel like it takes a lot of effort to, like, remember all these names.
Right.
Being, like, a, you know, heavy drug user takes a lot of work.
Right. I know.
All right, here we go.
That's why I just stick with the weed and the beer most of the time.
You gotta be a chemist to survive in this world.
It's like, I can't remember all these terms.
All these numbers and letters?
I can't do these drugs. I can't remember
waffle
these
dust? Some terms.
I'm start doing drugs to their terms.
Terms?
All right, here we go, guys.
Sherm's a term?
Terms?
Sherm's a term?
If you guys get this right and Brad gets it wrong, we'll have a tiebreaker, but otherwise it looks like Brad might be pulling into the lead.
Okay.
The Houston cocktail.
Real.
Yeah, I'll go real. Or wait, Brad, what are you doing on this? I'm gonna go opposite.
The Houston cocktail. I'm gonna say that's fake.
All right, real.
That is real.
It's yeah, damn it, baby.
We got a tiebreaker now.
Gonna take this.
That
to
is Vicodin, Xanax, and Soma.
Oh my. God.
Wow.
They get real pilly down in Houston
Sweet
with their
God. That's because they won't let you smoke weed.
No.
So you're like, why, how can we mix these pills up?
All right, one more here. You guys this are all it. Tied up. Ethan.
Ethan?
Ethan. Like that, the name.
I don't. That's like...
Ethan like the name.
Somebody named a drug combination after their kid or something like that.
It's some horrible shit.
Is this some guy that died off of mixing like a bunch of drugs together? And they're like, don't do what Ethan
don't
did.
Be, don't do that, what Ethan did. Yeah.
Call that doing an Ethan. Don't Ethan.
You don't do an Ethan, man. Come on. That's fake.
I gotta go real.
That is real. That's LSD and cocaine. Oh, what a God. Weird thing to call it.
Really? Ethan? So you guys...
So I guess you two win?
Okay. I jumped out to the lead.
Boom.
I don't know how...
Take that, lost. Brad.
You were killing that, dude. I don't know how you lost it.
I went against my instincts.
I think dude, I know what an Ethan is. Come on now.
Ethan.
Do some Ethan. Math on this one.
Well, it's because I only picked the weirdest shit off that list. There was a bunch of shit you know. Like Sherm.
Well, yeah.
That's
yeah.
on there.
Right.
Andy, you got one to play?
Yeah, man.
Like poking the old donkey.
Like that's poking that donkey. Yeah.
That's a classic direct yeah. combo. Everyone
that's
knows
when you put weed in your
donkey.
Boofing weed.
Yeah. Got poking the donkey. All right. I'm going to throw one of my hot tracks in here for you guys.
Throw a hot
I feel
track
like we need,
in, baby.
We need some summer hip hop. We need to feel what? This shit.
Summer time.
This is an Atlanta rapper named Bugus. B-U-G-U-S.
Bugus.
Yeah, man. And this is just like, you cannot hear the song and not just think about summertime and rolling in your car. It's fantastic.
Ooh, so
you guys
in.
Are gonna like this. The song's called Free Bird.
Free Bird?
Check it out.
Still, now you're close to the Lucifer. Got a Colt 45 trying to loosen up. Got a buzz online trying to boost it up. Got a dad and a mom trying to make him proud. Got a bag in a bunk trying to make a pound. I'ma up my ante, touch my Grammy. Go my family down to Miami. No, they can't control my visa. My world, I roam like Caesar. My song, my girl, my diva. Good drink, my good sativa. God knows I'm far from lousy. Lord knows I'm smoking loudly. Hot box, I'm riding cloudy. Eyes drop like Ronda Rousey. I'ma use the two legs that God gave me. Go so long, bitch, I'm Tom Brady. I go Kobe, drop about 80. Then I roll out in a drop top, baby. 285, I do about 80. Push to the limit when I get in it. I don't get high till my third blunt finish. When I can't deal with the weight and the pain of the world, I write my pain and I sing for the world. Came from afar, ain't came for the fame, but I came for the change I could bring to the world. When I can't deal with the weight of the world, I write my pain, I sing for the world. Came from afar, ain't came for the fame, but I came for the change I could bring to the world. I girl, I think I'ma go west and I'ma see Arizona. I've been in Georgia. Sun is shining in Florida. I'm a free bird smoking on California and Indiana.
Question for you guys: what do you think about like the state of bluegrass in Portland right now? Like, like is it?
I don't know. Where's Scott Law right now?
Is it hot, or is it,
where's Scott Law?
Yeah,
dying, or what's
it's hot. Yeah. I mean, like, think about.
I'm never here anymore, so.
You want to think about a band like Cascade Crescendo is a great example of a band. It's a really good bluegrass band, but they haven't really been around that long, but they're already doing really well in venues. I think that not just the bluegrass scene, but just the music scene in general in this town is very, very happening
right
now.
It's robust, yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of great musicians. You know, there's, you know, people really love bluegrass here, you know. And
they do. There's like a...
I guess maybe I don't feel like there's the pickers, though, that there used to be.
I don't think there is as
like
much.
Corey Goldman, like some guys that we know, like Corey Goldman and Josh Rabby and
the Water Tower
Bucket guys. And
yeah, man, it's a bummer when those guys left. Yeah.
Ugh, fuck, I miss them.
But yeah, they're doing good down in L.A. They're doing their thing all the time.
Corey is? Mm-hmm. I know Josh is in Michigan.
Josh, no, he's in Wisconsin.
Or Wisconsin, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's the capital, like the bluegrass capital of the United States right now?
I think Denver.
Denver?
Yeah.
There's some, I mean, the Dusters and Green Sky are hanging out around there, and like,
I think
like
there's more
Andy
bluegrass
Thorne
musicians
from Leftover
there.
Sam. I think there's more bluegrass musicians there, that, at least personally, that I know than any other place. But
what about like
still,
Asheville? Or
still,
like
I would
East
say
Asheville.
I don't know if it's as bluegrassy.
Scene.
Yeah, more country.
Yeah, it's like more like indie rock, indie folky,
folk, folky
stuff. But and like old timey music and stuff like
yeah,
that too.
Yeah, they do the more. They
but,
do the more old timey.
But still,
stuff.
There's something to be said about just like Appalachian mountain folk. Like, dude, there's still just people living in Appalachia.
They
like,
get it, man.
Still, like a deep tradition of bluegrass music, and I think that that. I think that there are bands that we don't know about in our scene that are maybe a little more straight-laced than a lot of the hippies out there doing all their slip and slides and
getting Ethan and
taking all their Ethan
banana splits and the only one that was fake was what?
Slip and slide.
Oh,
until
yeah,
we made it something
slide.
Real, bro.
We did. We made
I had too many good real ones. I couldn't waste them.
Right. But yeah, so who knows where the like I guess I would say Denver for like the people that I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Is the spot.
Yeah.
A lot of pickers there. You know.
A lot of pickers.
Yeah.
In Colorado.
And that's not too far from Telluride, and they're like basically, you know, they're a huge bluegrass festival every year.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's Nashville always too. Mm-hmm. Like think about that, Billy Strings and a lot of the Duster dudes are from there. I don't think a lot of them live there anymore.
Yeah. Oh man, Billy Strings is so good.
He's so great.
He's a great dude too.
Yeah.
But a phenomenal, like, world-class picker.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, let's introduce this last song you guys played. Well, your second-to-last song.
Oh, second-to-last one.
It's another Bell Boys one.
Yeah, this is a Bell Boys tune that I wrote a long time ago. It's called All My Love.
Oh, you
Well, Brad, Jay, thank you so much for coming on Hot Garbage
today. Thanks for having us.
Very welcome, man.
Where can people find out about your stuff if they're looking to find your music or internet presence?
You can find my, you know, you can find my music on my website at bparsonsmusic.com. And then, you know, my record Hold True is up on Spotify and all the places. You know, you can buy it there. You can listen to it on the streaming services and all that stuff.
Fantastic.
And if you lack the old Fruition Band there, you can go to fruitionband.com for all of your fruition needs. But if you want to check out some solo stuff, I have a, right now all I have is a Bandcamp site. It's bandcamp.com/JacobAndersonMusic. And you can like order my solo album through that.
What's it called, Jake?
My solo album?
Yeah.
It's called I'm a Rambler, I'm a Fool.
Very nice.
That's a true story.
And you can find all your Hot Garbage needs on Facebook and also Hurt Grish on the Instagram.
Ooh, that was confusing. What was that again?
That's HERTGERBISH.
Now say it again, though.
Hurt Grish.
Hurt Grish.
For pictures of
if you're slipping sliding, then you'll get it.
Getting deep in that slip and slide.
I've been slipping sliding all day. I'm her grubbers.
And if you like what you hear, please head over to iTunes. Give us a rating. Give us a review if you would. It really helps us out to get people to find out about the show. And you can always email us at hautegarbagepodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to go out with a cover you guys played for us on the end here. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
This
Thank
is you. You'll know it when you hear it.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help, when I was younger, so much younger than today. Younger than today.
I never
needed anybody.